This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Health News Channel. You can find us and subscribe to our programming on iTunes, and now can be heard on TuneIn Radio as well for your convenience. Today, we are speaking with Richard Coons, BSCHE, author of How to Get Your Life Back from Morgellons and Other Skin Parasites, contracted a case of skin parasites in the mid-90s. He discovered a diet, the King Diet, that was instrumental in getting his life back. Since that time, he has helped countless individuals suffering from Morgellons and other skin parasites with his book, Diet, Nature's Gift to Brightening Soap and Other Vital Supplements. Certainly a privilege to have you, Richard, with us today on eHealth Radio to cover this topic.
Thank you. I want to actually thank you for taking the interest in the subject of Morgellons to inform your audience of this horrendous disease.
You're more than welcome. The pleasure is definitely mine. So first of all, for starters, Morgellons is relatively new to the forefront. Tell us what this is.
Well, if you talk to people at the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, they did a study between 2008 and 2012 with 42 people who self-diagnosed themselves with Morgellons. The result was that they decided that it was a thing of the mind. It's stress-related. It's mentally induced. It's nothing organic. Years ago, we would call that it's not a somatic illness. It's a mental illness, more of anything else. If you go to your doctor and talk to him about it, he'll tell you that it hasn't been proven that it actually exists. If you talk to the many Morgellons sufferers, they'll tell you that it's very real, it's very physical. They have lesions protruding from their skin with organisms sometimes being born from those lesions, intense itching and pain. It's very organic to them. If you go to a Dr. Staniger of Los Angeles and maybe Dr. Wymore of Oklahoma State University, they'll tell you that it's something like an infectious organism in the form of fibers or a wide variety of insects or nematodes, which are like worms, that can enter through one's skin. And when they do this, they rewrite the DNA to genetically modify the host DNA. It sounds like something out of science fiction, and it really is. And the host could be a human or a pet. I had one lady, her ferrets actually contracted the disease. As this DNA is rewritten, the host then produces infectious fibers or often organisms, whether they be insects or worm-like. The female breeds under the skin and produces the eggs that then give birth through the skin through the non-healing lesions. It's a nightmare.
Good grief, it certainly is a nightmare. What are the symptoms of Morgellons?
Well, the typical symptom is a tremendous itching. It feels like it comes from under the skin. The more you itch, the more you scratch, the more it itches. It just feels like you just can never get to that itch to take it away with your fingernails or any mechanism whatsoever. And then there are biting sensations. It feel like the bite goes through to the core of your bone. It's an intense bite. Then people often find cotton-like or lint-like substance. They find it accumulating in their bedding and clothing. Don't understand where it came from. It's more than what you can possibly ever get out of lint from fibers and normal fabrics. Then there are fibers that grow from non-healing lesions. They are fluorescent under ultraviolet light. Some people notice grayish-like spider veins. Now, not everybody has all of these symptoms. It could be just two or three of these symptoms. Generally, there's a one-degree drop in body temperature from normal. Some people describe a black goo coming from their skin. And then, of course, there's these organisms that they notice coming from their skin. There could be waspy-like. They could be in the form of mites. They could be in the forms of nematodes or worm-like things or larvae coming from their skin. One lady is actually producing a skeletal plastic-like thing that was 3 inches long, and she would describe how excruciating it was to extract this thing from her skin as there were barbs in it that kept it from coming out. So these are the general symptoms of what one experiences with Morgellons.
How does it affect the sufferer?
Well, it affects them previously, as we just went through, and then it affects them mentally because there's no help from the medical community for dealing with this disease, and it affects them financially. Before many of them find me, they've already lost their jobs, their careers. They've lost their homes. They are on limited income from the government. And because it totally ruins the structure of a family, not everybody is infected by Morgellons. Like, for instance, in some cases, we'll find a whole family has the disease to one degree or another. In many cases, we'll find the wife has it and the husband doesn't. And they go to the doctor for help, and the doctor says it's in your mind. The husband thinks, well, I'm married to a nutcase. And they end up getting divorced or major. So it splits up families. That's how it affects the sufferer. Nothing good comes out of it.
Definitely. And like you said, it's a nightmare. It's more than a nightmare. It's torment for sure. Now, what treatments are available when one detects that they have Morgellons?
Well, okay, the best that you can expect from your doctor, that's 99.9% of all physicians in the country, is that they may give you a script for Elamite or Dipyrrolene or sulfa drug or maybe a misdiagnosis of scabies. These medications and they would prescribe something like ivermectin from that, which is stramecrol, and the best that you can expect is you might get a few days relief at most. Now, the worst you can expect by going to your doctor is that you're doing it to yourself. The doctor would say, well, this is self-induced. You're scratching your lesions. This is what's causing the problem. They're getting infected from the bacteria under your fingernails. And then even the worst, there's one case I know of a lady who was committed involuntarily 3 times to a mental institution. Now, there are a handful of doctors nationwide that treat it as a serious case of Lyme disease with a rotation of antibiotics along with antifungals over a 6-month or longer period of time. It's only a handful out of the thousands and thousands of doctors in this country. And these treatments are not covered by medical insurance because it's not recognized as a disease. The treatments cost thousands of dollars, and most people have already depleted their funds, and it's unaffordable. And what's worse yet is once the treatment's over, after 6 months, the disease may rear its ugly head up again, and they're starting all over again. Now, the best news in all of this in the last several years, I mentioned the study done by the CDC a few years ago, but more recently, February of this year, I believe it was February 20th, there was a joint study exploring the association between Morgellons disease and Lyme disease. Now, Lyme disease has been around a long time, but as you recall, Eric, about maybe 30, 40 years ago when people first started complaining about it, it took the doctors about 15 years to really discover that it was Lyme disease behind it. So there was a big lag in time. So it's a joint study between the International Lyme and Associated Disease Society in Bethesda, Maryland, Department of Biology and Environmental Science, the University of New Haven, West Haven, Connecticut, and the Australian Biologics in Sydney, Northwest Australia. And they found that Morgellons is spirochete-related. Lyme disease is a spirochete. Some people estimate that there are between 30 and 250 variations of spirochetes, and this is another variation of typical Lyme disease. And, of course, the study then suggests that the next type of study would be what form of treatment would be responsive. Now, the last is the Internet. People go to the doctor. They don't get results. Then they're turned to the Internet where they find all kinds of promises and cures from magnets to expensive foggers, expensive herbs and soaps. And this is how many people end up losing their homes and jobs as they go through their money with all these expensive approaches.
Today we're joined by Richard Coons, author of How to Get Your Life Back from Morgellons and Other Skin Parasites, here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Richard, how did you become involved with Morgellons?
Well, actually, I first encountered skin parasites back in the mid-90s, the itching and the biting, and at one point, from no relief from the medical facilities and despair, I actually considered suicide. It was that bad, having to take 3 scalding baths a day just to keep the symptoms under control. Over the course of years on the internet, I found other people suffering from similar ailments. A close friend of mine suggested I experiment with diet, and that was the first real ray of hope I had. I did an elimination diet and found that there are some foods that parasites enjoy and thrive upon, and there are many healthy, very healthy foods that turn parasites off. And through an elimination diet, I discovered what I now call the King diet, King because it's the best there is in managing skin parasites. And I did luck out and find one physician who was familiar with mites and how bird mites can infest organisms and humans. And he prescribed a certain kind of medication that was also very helpful, but it wasn't an antibiotic. In fact, it was an antipsychotic. And most people say, well, it proves that it's in your mind, but it really doesn't, because there are several antipsychotic medications that are dual purpose, and that is that they were also antiparasitic. Around 2002, the word Morgellons was coined, and we all figured who were suffering from itching and biting that we all had Morgellons. Around 2006, I realized through my own research and talking and communicating with thousands of people around the globe that there are actually several different types of skin parasites. I was suffering from Columbella, which is called springtails. It's an organism that exists naturally in nature. Not everybody is susceptible to them. Who knows whether it's one out of two or one out of 150 or one out of 1,000. And I was also dealing with Strongyloides, which is a nematode. And I didn't actually have Morgellons, but I found through communication and the release of my diet that many people with Morgellons were responding very well to the diet. And then that's when I wrote the book, How to Deal with Morgellons and Other Skin Parasites, How to Get Your Life Back, in 2006.
Certainly some interesting details that you've shared with us so far. I know we're up against the clock, but tell us about a little bit about the diet, the King diet that you discovered. How about that?
Well, sure, certainly. If one is dealing with Morgellons, obviously the first thing you want to do is go to your doctor and have scabies ruled out or anything else, ringworm and other things, which they are well equipped to deal with. And if you are suffering from the symptoms I mentioned below, above when we were talking about the various symptoms, the first thing is to get on the diet. It's basically limited in the types of oils. In fact, most oils feed these things. The only oils that I found that are good to have are real butter, not margarine, or even olive oil will feed them. So rice bran oil and real butter and even lard is good. You want to eliminate fruit for the most part. Most fruits feed them. All grains basically feed them. The processed grains, that is, you want to eat the millets and rice bran grain and rye. Rye is a safe grain. Lots of protein in the form of meat. There are many additives, anything with soy in it. You stay away from milk, which has lactose in it, or anything with lactose. Anything with sugar will feed them. Leafy green vegetables are very good. However, starchy vegetables, even like asparagus, could feed them. It's a very precise diet. The second thing you want to do is you want to start disinfecting your household. You can buy expensive foggers, like I said before, and spend as much as $500 or $1,000 in a fogging system, or you can go to the store and buy a gallon of laundry-grade ammonia and spray that around, and it'll be just as effective as these expensive fogging systems. And then the third thing you want to do is you want to start cleaning your skin, and that's where our debriding soap comes in. It's sub-angstrom in size. Well, it's angstrom in size, submolecular in size, and it deep cleans the skin and brings the organisms out of your skin where they are not going to be affecting you. And that takes several weeks of deep cleaning to rid yourself with the organisms if you're doing everything else right.
In conclusion, what advice would you give to someone with Morgellons, and how does one get in touch with you as well?
Well, I would say, first of all, start with a diet. And get in touch with me. It's www.skin, S-K-I-N, Parasites, plural, P-A-R-A-S-I-T-E-S, ebook, ebook.com. Or you can call at 1-800-993-0929.
Well, Richard, it certainly has been insightful, and it certainly is a serious matter. We thank you so much that you're out there and you provide some great information on this topic of Morgellons. Let's hope not many people have it or get it, but if they do, you know where to go. It's skinparasitesebook.com. Richard, thanks so much for being with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Have a good day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Richard Coons, author of How to Get Your Life Back from Morgellons and Other Skin Parasites. And once again, for more information and for contact, it's skinparasitesebook.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.